So before we get into the episode, a word from our sponsors. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into my podcast. My name's Betty. Today we're talking about Outlander Season 1, Episode 4, The Gathering. I want to address some of the things, or discuss some of the things in the last episode that I talked about. Number one, that the little guy that supervises Jamie in the with the horses, his name is Alec. I told y'all that name would come back to me. And then the other thing, Bear McCreary and Ronald D. Moore, the space program that they did together back in the day, was called Battlestar Galactica. So I found that out. Okay, so with Galus, I kind of implied that I didn't think she was an interesting character. Without future knowledge of future episodes. I didn't mean it that way. I think she's a very interesting character, and she gets more interesting as it goes along. I had a whole thing written down here about Jamie and Claire in her surgery, you know, the hot and here moment, but I'm not gonna go into all that. That's, you know, Y'all knew what I was saying. So, but anyway, let's just go right into the episode discussion. The synopsis I have written here, it says, "The Gathering shows Claire's attempt at her first role-planned escape. The run-in she has with various characters on the way include a major run-in with Dougal and yet another moment with Jamie alone building their relationship. Also, an oath-taking ceremony could have awful results if not handled carefully." So, yeah. So, this episode, it starts out with Claire running through the woods, and you don't know who's chasing her. You don't know what's happening. You think maybe she's in trouble. But come to find out, she's playing with the kids. But really what she's doing is she's mapping out how to escape. And The guards are there, and of course Rupert and Angus have been following her, and they're upset with her because she keeps playing with the kids, and they want to go to the festivities that is happening with the gathering, and so she gives in to them, and they go, and but she's trying to figure out how to get rid of them and how to, you know, she's trying to plan her escape. So she gets Angus and Rupert to be distracted. She almost feels bad too. She says that she is trying to get her escape because, you know, it's the energy in this area with the gathering and stuff, with the festivities and stuff. It's very uplifting and it's happy time. And she, but anyway, she finds a woman that is checking out both Angus and Rupert. Or, well, I don't know which one she was checking out, but she gets them distracted with this woman, and she has them draw straws. And I think it was Angus that won the straw drawing. And but then later on you see Rupert with her. But anyway, yeah. The next thing she needs to do is find a horse, so she goes to the stables. And I think, you know, yeah, she was trying to find herself a horse, but she was also probably trying to look for Jamie to help her find a gentle horse to ride and everything. But she finds out from Alec that all the horses are taken. But she uses the excuse, of course, that, you know, she's going to need it for the hunt tomorrow and, you know, for the boar hunt. But, yeah, she was looking for Jamie to help her, but Alec tells her, of course, that, you know, she needs to leave him alone, and she doesn't know why, but, you know, we'll get to there, why she should have left him alone. Yeah, she picks herself out a horse, and of course, you know, Alec tells her that the horse probably would find its way home if you don't, you know, mind it, you know, if you don't pay attention, it would probably be able to find its way home. So she has to be careful with that. She's walking through the hallway, and of course they start playing that music from Her Own Time. I like that touch. They do that a lot in this show. Play music for Claire. I think it was the second episode, she was actually humming a song. And then in the future, we're going to hear her actually sing some music from Her Own Time. But anyway, that's ahead of ourselves. So she's walking down the hallway, and she goes into her surgery, and Galus is there, and it surprises her, because, you know, she's in full planning mode, you know, and so, you know, she's gonna be jumpy, you know. So, but anyway, she sees, Galus there, and, Galus, of course, she notices that Claire has food in there, you know, extra food, and she asks Claire if she's with child, because are you eating for two? And, you know, this is just Galus asking more questions, trying to figure out what's happening with Claire. But, you know, Claire says, no, I've never been unfaithful to my husband, and Galus is like, well, it's not unfaithful if he's dead, because he is dead, right? And Claire, you know, admits to it that, yeah, her Frank is dead. So Galus goes on to say, maybe you're barren then, and, you know, Claire says, well, it doesn't matter now, you know. And then Galus sees the herb that makes you sleep, and, you know, Galus probably is on to Claire by this point, because, you know, she tells her, though, that she has trouble sleeping too, and she gives her a better way of grinding, or I think she says to boil the root first and then, you know, put it in your tea or whatever you're going to do there. Of course, Claire asks her about the proper dosage, and Galus says that she puts it in her husband's tea, you know, so she can sleep, you know, so her husband Arthur would leave her alone. And she starts talking about how she first came to Cranesmere, and all she had was her wits, and she came from nothing, and, you know, and so she starts talking to Claire about how to maybe survive in this time, telling Claire how she survived in this time, you know, and how she married a man in a position that, you know, is wealthy and stuff. So she's just giving Claire some back history about, you know, who she is and how she survives in Cranesmere, or how she survived in Cranesmere, because all she came with was her knowledge for herbs and things like that. And it doesn't bother her that he's not someone to really look at, you know, he's not very handsome or anything like that. That doesn't bother her, because she's free to do whatever she wants. And I think, you know, she's probably giving Claire some good advice here, you know. She's trying to probably talk Claire out of leaving. This is just her way of doing that. So, yeah. So Claire says that she's got to prepare for the hunt, and she's got to go. So, you know, Galus is like, yeah, that must be what you're preparing for. And she turns around and she says, just remember that the Highlands are no place for a woman, you know. So, yeah, she's trying to get, you know, talk Claire out of Claire's plans to leave. So, after that, Claire promises to see Galus at the gathering. And, you know, Galus is like, that's, you know, promises mean something in this country. And, you know, Claire agrees. And so, Galus leaves. And Claire is still hell-bent on her mission. So, she's still planning the stuff to leave, and so she goes into the great hall there, and they're setting up for the gathering, and she goes into the kitchen, and she runs into Miss Fitz, and Miss Fitz is like, you're not going to wear that to the gathering. And Claire was like, she didn't think that she was going to be able to, you know, that she was going to be welcome. So, but Miss Fitz insists that, no, you're Colum's guest, so we must get you ready. Claire thought this was going to be a hinder to her plan, but it turned out to be actually a good thing, so she could distract Rupert and Angus some more. So the next scene we see, people are already gathering, you know, assembling for the gathering and stuff, and we see some very important people in this scene. We see Ronald D. Moore, and then Claire, Miss Fitz, they walk past herself, Mrs. Diana Gabaldon. So that was really cool to have them cameo in this scene. I don't think Ronald D. Moore had any lines. He was just there talking with people. But Diana Gabaldon, she actually had a name and some lines. She exchanged some words with Mrs. Fitz. Her name was Iona. She, you know, Mrs. Fitz, you know, she gets a little testy with our lovely author there, but that's okay. I mean, I guess that's what they wanted to do. It was a really good scene. It was a nice surprise to see both of those people there. Without either one of them, we wouldn't have Outlander, period. We wouldn't have the books for Miss Diana Gabaldon, and we wouldn't have the show without Ronald D. Moore. So it was a pleasant surprise to see them two in this scene. So then Mrs. Fitz notices Murdaugh standing there, and so he stands over there with Miss Fitz and Claire, and Colum comes in to the Great Hall, and he's walking up to the stairs, and he starts speaking, and of course Murdaugh's there translating for Claire, and our lovely author again is shushing him. So that gave everybody a good chuckle. So they start to take the oath, you know, men start assembling to take the oath, and Dougal's the first one to step up, and you know, he pledges his loyalty to the Clan Mackenzie and all of that, and then, you know, they drink from the cup and all that, and then Dougal walks away, and you know, the next person comes up, and so Claire asks Murdaugh if this is, are they all the same, and he says yes, and so she says, if you've seen one, you've seen them all. So she takes this opportunity to leave, and she runs into Angus there, and he wants her to stay at least until he can find a lass, and she says okay, fine, and pulls out her bottle of port that she has already drugged with the sleeping herbs, and or the sedative, and so he wants to join in with her, and he drinks a lot. Okay, yeah, I'm surprised he's still standing the next time we see him. So, but she leaves, you know, after he's distracted, she leaves, and she's, the plan's still on to escape. She starts gathering up her things, and when she goes to leave, she opens the door, and Leary's standing there, and Leary is asking her to help her with maybe a love potion, you know, to get Jamie. So Claire goes in and gathers some, in a vial, some horse dung, and gives it to Leary and tells her, you know, to pour this on his doorstep and recite, there's no place like love, there's no place like love, and all that. So anyway, after that's out of the way, she starts walking down this hallway, and she runs into these guys that want to take advantage of her, and so you think that maybe she might be in trouble, but then Dougal shows up and saves her, and you think, oh, for a minute that there's instant relief, you know, but then he actually tries to start taking advantage, and she fights him off, and then then he notices the bag that was knocked out of her hand, and he you know, tries to, he bends down to get the bag and he tries to stop her, but she hits him over the head with a chair, and then she gets out or leaves, and she's running, and she trips over, or she gets to the horse stable and she trips over Jamie because that's where he's hiding. And so here is our first time we see Jamie in the episode, and we find out that he's been hiding because he can't take the oath because, you know, it's dangerous for him to do so. He realizes what she's up to, and he actually tries to talk her out of leaving, just the same way Galus was, but in more words. You know, he makes it more plain of why she can't really go. So he agrees to escort her back to the castle. Of course, you know, Claire is disappointed. You know, she had all these plans, and, you know, it's really not good for her to do that, to try to escape, because she'll either get caught or she could get into trouble on the road. So, yeah, so he escorts her back to the castle, and he has a secret passageway to get back into the castle, because she tells him what happened with Dougal. And so he gets caught by the men because, you know, they make him get dressed, and there's that beautiful scene with Jamie, okay? The je suis prêt. Okay, I don't know if I said that right. I am sorry if I slaughtered that translation, but oh my gosh. He is so sexy, right? Ladies? But anyway, she goes, the next scene we see is Claire going into the Great Hall again, and she runs into Murdaugh there, and she points out that Jamie is here, and everybody gets tense, and Claire is wondering why, and Murdaugh explains to her that if Jamie takes the oath, he'll be next in line to be laird. And Claire asks how come it wouldn't go to Hamish or Dougal, and of course Murdaugh explains that that's not the way that the Scottish do it, because Jamie has Mackenzie blood. He could become laird of Clan Mackenzie, and that would get him into trouble, because if he doesn't take the oath for Colum, then he'll be killed on sight. And if he does take the oath for Colum, then Dougal will kill him. But Claire asks Murdaugh, you know, why didn't he just leave? And of course, Murdaugh explains that if Jamie leaves, you know, he has a price on his head. So staying at Castle Leoch was one of the safe places for Jamie to be. But if Jamie had just stayed hidden, Colum and Dougal probably wouldn't have pressed the matter. So this is where Claire realizes that she's the one that got Jamie into trouble for having him, or needing him to take her back, bring her back to the castle. So yeah, it was Claire's fault. But Jamie, being the clever person that he is, he figures out how to get out of the oath and make both men satisfied with how he handles it. It was a very intense moment, after that, Jamie goes to stand with Murdaugh, and the celebrations start, and Jamie and Murdaugh leave, and it goes to the next day, or the next scene. The next scene is them preparing for the hunt, you know, to go hunt this boar. And Claire is commenting on how the men are getting spears and shotguns and things. And I don't think Claire at this moment, well, she doesn't realize how dangerous boar hunting is, or how dangerous boars can be. So she kind of teases the men about, you know, having such big weapons for just to hunt a pig. And so they start hunting the boar, and we see Claire attending to a boy that has a big gash in his leg, and she teases, or, you know, serves him right for going after a boar. And And she tells him to take him back to the castle so she can properly stitch him up. And then she hears screaming in the distance, and she goes and she starts to go that, go towards the screaming, and Rupert tells her to stay there. And, at this point, Claire probably thinks that Rupert's telling her not to go anywhere because he has to keep an eye on her because of Dougal's orders, not realizing the danger she's actually in. Rupert probably wanted to stay with her to keep her safe, but she goes off on her own, and there's a boar out there, and it starts to charge her, and Dougal, thankfully, was there and was able to stop the boar from getting her. And but the guy that or the sound that drew her away in the first place, she goes to tend to that man, and unfortunately, he has fatal wounds. Or when she first tending to him, we don't know that it's a fatal wound. We think it's just a bad leg gash, but she lifts his shirt, and he has an abdomen wound, and he's dying. So her and Dougal stay with him and help him pass, give him peace to help him pass away peacefully. And so the next scene we see, there are people out in front of the castle, playing shinty. I hope I said that right. But anyway, they Jamie and Murdaugh and all them, they're playing the game, and Dougal comes up and starts playing with them. And after he's just had that really intense traumatic moment with the dying man, with Claire, he's probably not in a good mood. But he starts playing, and he plays a little rough, but Jamie ends up beating him, getting the best of him, and throwing him over his shoulder. So the next scene we see is Claire in her surgery, and she's trying to think of a new way. She's trying to come up with a new plan, maybe to get, because she's afraid that she might be stuck in this place forever. And so she's I think she's trying to she needs she's realizing she needs more time to come up with another plan. And Dougal comes to visit her, and they start talking, and he says that she has seen men die before, and Claire admits that, yeah, she's seen a lot of them. But he thanks her for helping him with the poor soul that needed to pass away peacefully. And then he proposes, or he tells her that he's going to bring her along with him to collect the rents. And so that's the next scene we see, is them going off, to collect the rents, because actually Dougal has to do it because Colm can't travel. So yeah, that's the end of the episode. And my general thoughts on the episode, the music was great, and I enjoyed seeing Ronald D. Moore and Diana Gabaldon in the episode. That was a real treat. If you noticed, or in the episode, we noticed Dougal had saved Claire not once but twice from a very intense situation, so that was interesting. I also thought it was kind of interesting that Jamie and Galus gave Claire similar advice in their own ways. But Claire, being stubborn as she is, she's not going to listen to anybody. We already know this. So yeah, that was the end of the episode. So y'all stay tuned for trivia. Okay, so I actually have two pieces of trivia. Number one, the two-handled bowl drinking cup the Oath Takers drink of is called a quiosh. I'm pretty sure I said that wrong. Anyway, I apologize. The word is Scottish Gaelic and means cup. Number two, and of course I pointed this out while we were talking about the episode, but yeah, Diana Gabaldon, author of the Outlander book series, has a cameo appearance, as well as Ronald D. Moore, the showrunner for the TV series. So yeah, that's the two trivias I have. Stay tuned for the news. So I have some big news for y'all. Outlander has been renewed for its seventh season, and TV Line had this to say about it. Outlander has been renewed for season 7. TV Line has learned the historical drama's seventh season will consist of 12 episodes, will be based on author Diana Gabaldon's novel, An Echo in the Bone. We are so excited. Stars has given us the opportunity to continue the epic Outlander journey, showrunner Matthew Roberts said via statement. We can't wait to get into the writer's room and start breaking Echo in the Bone and look forward to giving the fans another season of this exhilarating story. Stars confirmed that series stars Katrona Bailiff, Sam Heughan, Sophie Skelton, and Richard Rankin will return for season 7. The cast currently is filming season 6 in Scotland. That's really exciting news, and that's all the news I have for you. So y'all stay tuned for listener feedback. Okay, so I only have the one feedback for y'all tonight. Ugo says he believes Claire might have been successful in her plan to escape, but without an escort, she would have been dreaming if she thought she wouldn't be discovered by Dougal's men and avoid the lobster tail troops. He says the costumes in this episode are great. He said Galus and Jamie give Claire advice she should listen to, but when was the last time Claire's stubbornness made her obey anybody, especially Jamie? He thinks if Jamie had taken the oath, he probably would have married Leary, and he didn't really like Dougal because he was always hitting on Claire. Ugo follows me in my Facebook group that y'all can find on www.facebook.com/groups/ talking about fun things. That's where I post questions to help y'all if y'all need help with this listener feedback. So that's going to wrap up this episode. I also have a Twitter account and an email account. The Twitter is at talking about fun things, and my email is talking about fun things at yahoo.com. So if y'all want to get a hold of me for feedback or whatever, or just to have a conversation, that's where you can find me at. That's gonna do it for this episode. Thanks for listening in, and good night, everybody.